Welcome to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis, and today I'm joined by Pastor Margaret Michael, our Presence Evangelism pastor here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene, and she's joined us before on Front Porch Talks. Welcome, Pastor Margaret. Good to have you back.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I've heard people say that they're blessed and highly favored. But some days we say we're blessed and highly favored, whether we feel like it or not. We know we are.
Amen. And Pastor Margaret, just start off and tell us what we'll be talking about today.
Well, it all started a few months back. I was over at UVA and actually ran into one of the other pastors from here at the church as we were both visiting the same family. And I heard the other pastor pray something that I had never heard prayed before. Not as far as I can remember, I've never heard it prayed for, and I've heard a lot of prayers over the years. And this prayer just, I don't know, it moved me, it touched something, a place deep in my heart, as I think so many times when we, as believers in Jesus, you know, we seek, we worry, we wonder sometimes where God is, what God wants for us. And in this simple prayer that he prayed, it was simple, but it was profound. He prayed for the Lord's richest will in this gentleman's life. And so I began to seek the Lord about that, just thinking about we pray for God's will, but what is his richest will for us personally? So today I hope to be able to talk that out, what as I've kind of studied and sought the Lord on it, kind of where I've come to believe some of that might land as I look at Scripture.
Well, Pastor Margaret, as you were talking about that, I was thinking about God's permissive will versus God's perfect will
yes.
in our lives, his
yes.
best for our lives.
Yes, absolutely. And he does have the best for us. He has a great plan for us. And, you know, a lot of times I think one of the scriptures, when we think about God's plans or God's will for us, you know, we go to Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration, plans for your welfare, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So we know that he does have a plan for us. And I love that translation is the King James Version. And I just love that idea to give us an expected end, plans for your welfare, not disaster. And so we know that God has a good plan for us. And as I've begun to look at that, what does God's richest will in our life look like? You know, we want something significant to happen most often. We wonder, you know, what is God's best for us? What is his perfect will? We don't want to miss anything, and we don't like to wait. We are living in a time where, you know, so many things are just, we are instant. And so there's some folks that wonder, you know, what is the next step to get where his will is? And then you have folks that maybe don't even believe they're significant enough for the Lord to notice them.
And a lot of times maybe we get impatient waiting for God to do something. We think we're supposed to do something, or we try to do something. God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to wait for him to speak to us, or wait for him to do something in our lives.
Yes. And so, you know, there are those that are expectant, and then there's those that don't even know if he notices where they are. And it was really interesting this morning, about 6:45, 7 o'clock, an email popped up on my computer, and it was someone asking for someone else, someone that came to them and asked, what's my purpose here? And so it was so funny you asked that, because I've just been really looking at that. And so A few days ago, I had mentioned to someone that this idea of God's richest will, and they asked me, so what do you think that looks like? And just like 3 points, what would you write down for God's richest will? What does that look like for us personally? And so my mind went first to Deuteronomy 6:4, where we know that in Deuteronomy 5, Moses gives the commandments to the children of Israel that God had given him on the mountain. And in Deuteronomy 6:4, he says that we are to love God, your God, with your whole heart, love him with all that's in you, love him with everything you've got. And so this is age old. You know, this has been a question that we've had since the beginning of time. And so to be in right relationship and communion with the Lord really feels like where this all has to start. You know, if there's no relationship, then we're not really going to be even able to find out God's will or be his will. In Romans 10, and this is where I really came to that point that I come to an understanding of a saving relationship with the Lord. In Romans 10, we hear about how do we start that relationship. And that is starting in verse 9. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you were made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So it has to begin by being in relationship with the Lord. And so my answer to the top number one way to know God's will is to be in right relationship or communion with the Lord.
Well, certainly we can't know God's will or even be God's will if we're not in relationship with him and don't have a relationship with him, because we won't be able to hear his voice if we're not spending time with him and seeking him. And it says if we seek him, we will find him. And certainly finding him will find his will for our life.
Amen. Amen. You know, I was thinking about it. It is a personal relationship, and that can be kind of hard sometimes to grasp, but I think about if we have children. I remember, you know, the first time that the girls called me mom. You know, someone called on my name. We have children. We want to hear from them. And when we have relationships, we communicate. And God gave me this thought this morning, and I don't know that I've ever thought it before, but it was this. God wants a relationship with us more than we want it with anyone on this earth. And that's just a powerful thought to me, that God desires that I commune with him, that I fellowship with him, that I acknowledge who he is in my life.
Oftentimes, I think I've heard Dad say this before, if we looked at our relationship with God like we do any other relationships, and we think about the time we've spent in relationship with him, would we be satisfied in any other relationship if we had spent that amount of time, 5 minutes a day or whatever it might be? Would we consider that a good relationship based on the time we had invested in that?
That is a great observation, because, you know, we'll spend time where our priorities are. And if we want his best for us, then we have a responsibility in how we not only respond to him, but it goes further than that, which kind of leads into the next thought. And when we go into the New Testament in Luke 10, there's a little bit more here that Jesus shares with the religious leader who stood up and was going to test Jesus by asking him a question. And he said, "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus replied to him, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked, who is my neighbor? And so we know that our neighbor is not just the person that lives across the street, but it's those that we come in contact with, even through divine appointment. Sometimes I will be out and I will have a meeting with someone. It may be at the hospital, it may be in a restaurant, but all of a sudden brought face to face with someone and I may end up praying with them or, you know, just having that moment with them that we know that God brought us together. And so he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And God invites us to work with what he's already given us. He wants us to be faithful so that he can entrust us with more. It's just how he operates. And so the second part of this, I think, when I look at what Jesus said to this religious leader, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. And for me, that really means that we must have relational purity with other people. We must make sure that our relationships, that there's nothing between us and another person. Just this past weekend, I went to hear Beth Moore, and she made a comment that I've not been able to get away from as she was talking about relationships with others. And she said, if in your relationships, if something has happened that has caused distance in your relationship with another person, and you don't go to that person and work it out, it is sin. And I'm like, wow, that's quite a statement. I mean, that's loving your neighbor. That's making sure that there is nothing between us and another person, because that's where the enemy wants to come in and get a foothold in our relationships. So if we're right with the Lord and we can work on the relationships that are around us, I believe that God's a rewarder of that faithfulness. He wants us to be faithful in what he's given us. And sometimes that's not always easy, but I believe that he calls us to, while maybe we wait for what God has for us, he desires more for us in that timing, that we wouldn't just be bystanders, but that we would be attentive to what's happening around us.
And I think that if these two verses or these two things go hand in hand that he's commanding, or he's telling the teacher in Moses' teaching when he's saying, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor yep. also, I think if we love God, then we'll love others because we'll show God's love to those people. And that's how they'll hear about Christ, is through our lives and through God's love pouring out of our lives. Yes. And I think that's part of his richest blessings for us, is blessing others also.
I really do believe that as we are in relationship with him, there is that still small voice that we know when there's something that's not quite right between us and another person. And sometimes we can't do anything about, maybe it's not in our court. We have to do everything that we can, but sometimes it's praying and seeking God. He knows the desires of our heart. And if our desire is to have that relational purity with others, he is going to work out the details of that. We give it to him, and we cast our burdens on him. I heard someone say recently that one of the words for God is owner, and that when we give him our burdens in those places that things are out of our control, that he becomes the owner of them. And I think that's just so powerful that he wants to do that for us. He wants to own those things as we trust him to work out those things in our life that we have not yet been able to work out.
And we have to give him you know, we have to allow him to be our owners. He's not going to take control of our lives on his own. He wants us to want him to be in control of our lives.
And that is a beautiful thing when we can release to him what we have maybe made a mess of and we surrender it. You know, I love the scripture that talks about that he can restore what the locusts have eaten. You know, he can make beautiful things out of our mess. What Satan wove in to trip us up, God can reweave it to make a beautiful tapestry of reconciliation.
And as you were saying that, Pastor Margaret, I was thinking of a story. Somebody in our church who used to fly banners down in Florida on spring break when kids were on spring break. And there was one sign like for Budweiser or something on one side, and then on the other side it was like wet t-shirt contest or something like that, and he was flying in the middle. God can turn your mess into a miracle.
That's wonderful. That is a great message in the middle of that mess, which actually happens to be this week. Again, this would be the anniversary of him flying those banners, and he was bringing good news to the people that desperately need it. And so, you know, there's a couple of things that I had thoughts on this idea of when we're looking for God's will. And, you know, as I've went through this, and I've heard Pastor Carey say this before, it's not to do God's will, but it's to be God's will. And I think that's so powerful. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon said this, whatever turns up, grab it and do it heartily. And then in Colossians 3, 23 and 24, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And, you know, I'd said it earlier, but I'll say it again. God is a rewarder of faithfulness. And I remember when I came to this church and I was a brand new believer and I so wanted to do something for the Lord, but I really didn't know what I was capable or what I could even do. I really didn't grow up in a atmosphere where we could volunteer at the church. We went there and heard a message on Sunday. And so it was a whole new concept to be involved. And I remember coming in every week and making sure that the choir had their music in the folders for the next Sunday. And I wrote some encouragement cards. And, you know, Zechariah says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. And so it's just as we are waiting on the Lord, wow, there is things around us that we can be doing for the kingdom. And it doesn't matter what it is. It just matters that we're willing. He wants us to have a willing heart. And he also, you know, we have to realize that as much as God has his perfect plan, his perfect will for us, we have to realize that the enemy has a plan for us as well. And really and truly, the enemy's plan is just to distract us from God's will, from God's best for us. If he can just distract us. I was at a play at the Sight and Sound Theater, and it was on Samson. And the one that was kind of the ringleader in trying to get Samson's attention away from God, he said, we just need to distract him from what God wants for him. And, you know, often, most of the time, you know, we read in Ephesians 6 that the battlefield is really in our thought life. It's in our mind. And there's a couple of things that I think as believers, the enemy wants to trip us up in this relational purity. If he can get us to look at someone else with doubt, and as we look at scripture, that's what he always did, was just to get a doubt in. And I just wrote down three things that I think will help us stay in relational purity. And of course, we know we need to pray for one another and believe the best. Scripture tells us that. But number one is don't point fingers. Two is look for solutions, not faults. And then number three, which is where we have to get to for relational purity, is to have the conversation, talk it out before the enemy gets a foothold. Because so often it is just miscommunication that causes us to go separate ways as believers. And we have to believe the best about one another. And back to what Beth Moore said, that if there's anything that has caused distance in a relationship with someone else, and we know that we're to go to our brother or sister if there's something between us, because to not do that, to not be in relational purity with one another, it is sin. So that's been really heavy, but a very timely word. And it doesn't have to be big things, but as much as we need to stay in relationship with God, we have to stay in relational purity with one another.
Yes, Pastor Margaret, I think it's very important not only to show love to non-believers, but also to believers around us. And the Bible says they will know we are Christians by our love, and it means by how we love one another.
Yes, and I think that is so true. And people are watching all the time, and we are present. Whenever we're present with people, they're watching to see how we treat one another. What do we say when the door's closed? And, you know, this is something that I would be willing to say I've learned the hard way. And I have been in that place where I didn't do that the way I should. And it is very hurtful. But again, I will just say that the Lord can restore whatever it is if we will give it to Him. And I've watched Him do that. And then number three in this list of being in relationship with the Lord, in relational purity with each other, the third thing to be the will of God is always sharing the good news. You know, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Making sure that that is the banner that my life flies. It's not just sharing the good news by what I say, but it's how I love my neighbor, how I respond to those around me, because there's always people watching. In that idea, you know, when we get a hold of this, sometimes we look around and our landscape doesn't look like we'd like for it to look. You know, maybe there's some things that we've done that have caused us to be at a place that it may take a while, because there are consequences when we don't do things God's way. And I was just brought to the scripture, really kind of what sets up that Jeremiah 29:11 scripture. Because the children of Israel had not listened and they had served other gods, they found themselves in captivity. That was the consequence of not serving God. And for whatever reason, God said to them that there would be 70 years of captivity. So it wasn't like it was going to be over tomorrow, this place they found themselves in. They had 70 years to be there. That's a lifetime.
And it didn't just affect them. It affected future generations.
Absolutely. Also. And, you know, but he said to them, and I love this scripture. This is God's word on the subject, and this is from Jeremiah 29. As soon as Babylon's 70 years are up and not a day before, I'll show up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you, but plans to give you a future you hope for. when you call on me, when you come to me and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. I'll turn things around for you. I'll bring you back from all the countries into which I drove you, bring you home to the place from which I sent you off into exile. You can count on it. And this is something Lisa Bevere had written a blog recently that I read, and this is just a little bit of the commentary that I really think falls into this place. You know, maybe our life don't look like it we want it to look right now, but are we willing to trust God where we're at and just do what we have to do where we're at right now? Love Him, love others, and be good news. And this is what Lisa Bevere says. Beloved, don't look down on your current situation just because you don't view it as your final destination. Commit to living wholeheartedly. Embrace your season in its fullness. As the missionary Jim Elliot so famously said, wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. And then she goes on to say, when you do what only you can do, God will do what only He can do. God is the promoter of the faithful, not the discontent or impatient. In other words, if you want God to promote you to the next season, get busy investing yourself in the current one. So as we are living, being the will of God in relationship with Him, in relationship with other, and being good news, maybe our consequences, some things may not look exactly like we want them to look right now, but be faithful where you are, and God will work out the details in ways we have never dreamed of or imagined.
Pastor Margaret, thanks again for joining me for today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. We pray today's program has been a half hour of hope for your life. Here's Brian Arner singing Deo Volente, which means whatever God wills.
There is a mighty God, I owe a mighty debt, gratefully I wear His name, to see His kingdom come, His slightest pleasure done, I relinquish every freedom I once claimed. Deo Volente, whatever God wants. Deo Volente, whatever God wills. This is my cry, laboring across the sky. Every moment of my life, Deo Volente, Deo Volente.
Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.